This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. There were 31 deaths in La Crosse County between 2009 and 2011 related to heroin or similar drugs. Compare that to nearly 10 years ago, between 2000 and 2002, when there were 8 deaths. There were 141 heroin-related admissions at La Crosse's emergency rooms between the start of 2010 and last fall. Heroin is causing similar issues in towns big and small across Wisconsin. State lawmakers are now considering a number of bills designed to prevent heroin overdoses from occurring. State Senator Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse and State Representative John Nygren of Marinette were at a recent meeting of the La Crosse County Heroin and Illicit Drug Task Force. I sat down with them after the meeting to talk about the proposals the legislature has been considering this session to get at the heroin issue in Wisconsin. I asked Representative Nygren if Wisconsin has a heroin problem.
There's no doubt. I mean, not only based on the number of deaths we've seen, but the number of crimes we've seen, we definitely have a heroin problem. And I think when people hear that, they perhaps get a little scared, and they should be. But I think there's also a little bit of an embarrassment, not only by family members, but by the community as a whole, because historically, these weren't issues that happened in that small town, Wisconsin. Awareness is a big part of it. We have to be aware of it because we can prevent it, and we can help those who are already affected by it.
I mean, you can look at mental illness, and when it comes to addiction, too, there's still so much stigma behind the issue.
My daughter, we've shared that story. We dealt with it privately. She has an addiction to heroin, and I think that's the way most people will deal with it because, there's an embarrassment and stigma, as you said, with the issue. But I think for us to be able to tackle it, more people need to be aware of it to prevent it. It's which came first. I think in this case, helping people understand that it could happen to them in their small town, the big cities in Wisconsin, could happen anywhere.
I mean, we're finding heroin overdoses in almost every county, if I'm not mistaken.
We have seen an increase in the number of arrests with heroin, and as Representative Nygren said, as people start to talk about it, they think, well, this is really happening in our community. It's the friends that our kids hang around with, what's happening here. And it is not an issue that is just isolated to the rural parts of the state. It's not isolated to the urban areas. That these task force are popping up across the state because communities and counties want, as they start to talk to each other, they say, what are some of the best practices? What are you doing? What are some good ideas? This is what we're doing. Is there some collaborative efforts that we can work on for applying for grants and some money to do this? And really trying to get a lot of stakeholders from the community involved. We have talked about the task force here in La Crosse, but I also wear the hat of how do our communities in rural parts of the state, as in Crawford County or Vernon County, that don't have kind of the same population area as we do here in the La Crosse County, what tools are available to them for law enforcement and schools and nonprofits to come together and address this use?
You asked a question about, is this a big city problem? Is it a small city problem? Well, it is both, as Senator Schilling said. But just to kind of underscore that a little bit, I'm from Marinette, population 10,000. The county is 40,000. And unfortunately, we lead the state per capita overdose deaths. So it's everywhere. And I think one of the messages we're trying to get out is we don't want people to be naive enough to think it can't happen to them. There's no barrier as far as population. There's no barrier as far as social economic status. There's no barrier as far as race. This can happen in any community, to any family, and that really emphasizes how vigilant we as parents need to be to make sure that we understand that this is a problem.
Senator Schilling, I know you've been in contact with some of the people who have been involved in the heroin task force. But Representative Nygren, why was it important for you to come to this meeting here today in La Crosse?
Well, I think it was important for me to come because, first of all, you want to applaud the efforts of people, citizens just getting involved to try and make a difference in their community, but to perhaps learn some things, get some ideas that we can take back and replicate in other communities throughout the state or in statewide programs. And there were a couple things I made some took some notes, and we're gonna look into some other potential legislation that we can pass to help. So that's communication is a big part of this.
And Senator Schilling, as someone who lives in this community, how big of a difference do you think that this could make for our community?
I think this could be huge. I mean, the theme today was community education about this issue and what we can do for prevention, how we can partner with law enforcement, that we need to continue to talk about this because it's not, I don't want this to be a passing story, that this is just something that we have seen a spike in arrests in 2013, 2014, and we kind of put it then on the back burner. Right now, this is the time that the policymakers are talking about this. This is a time that many of our communities are grappling with this, that we need to continue this strong interest to try to do the right thing, to try to curb use and try to make sure that we can prevent any deaths in the county. I mean, we talked to the theme today or the mission it kept saying was repeated about saying on the paperwork was that we want to prevent any heroin deaths and illicit use. And so I think to keep that goal in mind, that we need to do that not just when the legislature is talking about this, but we need to remember that there will be another issue that will come before the legislature that will kind of take our time and attention. We still need to make sure that this is an issue that we need to talk about even maybe after the headlines have gone away.
Can you think of any other local communities that are attacking this in the same way that La Crosse is? Or maybe other communities where you think that they've had some success with this?
Well, my hometown, we have a similar task force. Brown County, Green Bay area has a similar task force. Hudson area. I've traveled to a number of different communities throughout the state over the last couple of months. They're all using similar models of bringing different stakeholders together, all at the same table, to be able to discuss that. And I think that's important. As far as success, we're still fighting it. I am not naive enough to think that any of the bills that we will pass are going to be the silver bullet to stop this. So this is an ongoing battle, and unfortunately the successes are difficult to measure. Unfortunately, our failures are pretty easy to measure when people die.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are State Representative John Nygren, a Republican from Marinette, and State Senator Jennifer Schilling, a Democrat from La Crosse. We're talking about heroin in Wisconsin. There's almost this heroin package that passed the assembly.
It passed 96-0. We had three absences that day. We call it the HOPE legislation. It stands for Heroin, Opiate Prevention, and Education. And the reason we came up with that name is because my daughter, I had asked her when I learned that she was using heroin, I asked why. Not only why she was, but why her friends were. I mean, Cassie is a very smart, she was a straight-A student up until, she got involved in drugs. Very pretty, had a lot going for her. But the answer she gave me, and I've heard from other people, young people as well, is they don't have a lot of hope for their future. You look at all the problems we face as a country, as a society, as a world, and it's pretty sad when kids don't think that there's a bright future for them. And as far as dealing with parents who have lost loved ones, they're looking for hope, too. They're looking to have their loss perhaps mean something, that we can make some changes that can prevent somebody else from going through the same loss. So I think the HOPE agenda is a properly named effort, but we've got a long way to go, and we're just at the starting line now.
Why do you think that this point in time now is when this heroin issue is really getting the attention that it's probably needed for a while now?
Well, there's been a 50% increase in heroin-related deaths last year to 199. By comparison, Wisconsin averaged 29 deaths each year from 2000 to 2007. And what I find startling is the statistic that today someone dies of heroin overdose every 44 hours in Wisconsin. I mean, that is just amazing, and it is pretty sobering when you start to look at the statistics and you talk about how prevalent this epidemic is here in the state. So because people came forward to talk about this and wanted action on it, and that there was a lot of conversations going on in a lot of different communities, and finally there's been sort of one voice that could kind of bring this together through the legislature, and it's time, and this is finally, I mean, the idea of sort of the stigma of drug use, and we need to make sure that we can address this, and we are doing it in a way that it's not a partisan issue at all, that all of our communities, that we can talk to people in our community that are involved in this issue and get statistics and get these stories and find users and addicts that will share their story with policymakers. And it's pretty powerful when you have a face and a story. And it's statistics are one thing, but when you sit down with someone who kind of bears themselves and puts himself in a very vulnerable position as being a former user, it's pretty powerful.
Representative Nygren, you mentioned earlier that you were apprehensive that some people might consider or interpret some of these laws as being soft on crime, but that doesn't seem to be the feedback that you've gotten from people?
No, it's actually, I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule, but the feedback so far has been very positive. I think our society is beginning to understand the significance of the problem. We talked about mental health issues in the Assembly and in the Senate in recent months. I think there's a parallel between these two issues, not only in drug abuse for people that have mental health issues, but just the conversation about those two issues. I think the timing was right because we're at a point in time where if we sat down at the table, there were 30 people around the table, I would hazard a guess that almost every single person in the room either had a family member, a friend, a relative, a neighbor that had suffered some type or suffers from some type of mental illness or drug addiction. So I think it has been so far reaching that the timing is right and people are beginning to understand that there's different ways to tackle this problem than simply locking people up and throwing away the key.
Let's dive into these bills and go into the details of them. One of the first ones in this package that has passed in the Assembly is a bill that would allow emergency responders to use Narcan, and this goes beyond allowing first responders and EMTs to administer Narcan. Why was this an important bill to get through? Why is this something that we need to put in more hands?
Well, a lot of our state is very rural. A lot of our communities, even some maybe the intermediate sized communities, do not have paramedics, professional paramedics available. So the current law for Narcan is you have to be an advanced level EMT, which is basically a paramedic, to be able to carry and administer. So if you live in a rural area and you have to wait 10, 15 minutes for a paramedic to arrive on the scene to administer the drug, that could be the difference between saving a life or a person passing away. So with proper training, the bill will allow basic level EMTs to be able to carry and administer the drug as well.
And here in La Crosse, there's some talks, and I can't remember if it's gone through or not, but for firefighters to be able to administer Narcan.
Yeah, the La Crosse area, we were going to have a pilot program for the La Crosse Fire Department to be able to carry Narcan. And it's just as you talk to people who are involved with this, that use of Narcan and having more people able to use it at the time of finding someone who is overdosed and is in that state, that is life-saving. So if we could expand the use of Narcan as far as those who can carry it and who can use it on those patients, that is really life-saving.
The bill does also allow for first responders, police and fire, allows them the option to be able to carry and administer as well. So I applaud La Crosse area for having this discussion, but now we're going to be able to take this statewide if it passes through the Senate and sign the law by the governor.
Beyond first responders, I know they're at least here in La Crosse and probably across the state too, at the AIDS Resource Center and there are other places, people who are using heroin or maybe their friends can actually pick up Narcan. So in case there's an emergency, they are able to administer it. I know I've heard, at least here in La Crosse, it goes quick. Do you think there will be any sort of efforts towards training people beyond first responders on Narcan?
Well, actually, the AIDS Resource Center is somebody we worked with. While they were doing that, distributing the Narcan, it technically was not allowed under state law. So we did, in this bill, make that change to allow for the training and for the distribution of Narcan. And I think that will continue to be life-saving service that they provide. And we also allowed for the transfer of the Narcan from one person to the other, so it isn't required to have the prescription for it. So once again, I think that's going to be a big life-saving effort.
So is it training the employees, or would the employees pass on the training to maybe different users who come in?
Yeah, I believe the AIDS Resource Center would train their IV drug users to properly use the Narcan.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about heroin in Wisconsin. My guests are State Senator Jennifer Schilling, a Democrat from La Crosse, and State Representative John Nygren, a Republican from Marinette. Another one of the bills that has passed the Assembly is this 911 Good Samaritan law. Can you talk about what exactly this is?
I can speak very personally about this because when my daughter Cassie overdosed in 2009, I got the call from her mom, who fortunately went home on an August afternoon to shut the windows because there was a thunderstorm coming. And as she was going into the front door, Cassie's friends were running out. They were leaving because Cassie had overdosed, and she was lying on the floor, purple, struggling to breathe. Thankfully, the paramedics were able to administer the Narcan and save her life. But we hear these stories over and over again throughout our state where we find people dumped in snowbanks in the Milwaukee area. A young girl was found. We found people in a parking lot of a hospital thinking somebody would find them. We find people in hotel rooms alone or at home. This drug, just like a lot of other drugs, is typically done socially with their friends. But people are afraid to dial 911 to save a life because they're afraid of any type of trouble that they might get into. So what this bill does is it allows for limited immunity for possession and possession of the drug and paraphernalia. Now, when we began looking at that, this issue, there were about 5-6 states back in September that had this law. If Wisconsin passes this law, we will be the 15th state. So what that shows to me is that this is not just a Wisconsin problem. This is a problem that our whole country is facing, and that the legislatures and other states are making taking steps to help save lives.
When you talk about limited immunity, what exactly does that mean?
Well, if you're in possession of the drug or the paraphernalia, you will not be prosecuted if you dial 911 to save your friend. Now, this is actually there's an interesting discussion that we had about this in many states. I think all states, if not all, if not most, the 911 Good Samaritan law actually applies to the overdoser as well, the person who's having the overdose. I chose not to do that, and the reason being is from my personal experience with my daughter, the fact that she actually went into the correction system, I think, saved her life because you don't have access to the drug, obviously. The intervention of the correction system can be a potential way for to break this cycle. And, you know, it's still the authority of the DA and, you know, law enforcement in that area. If they decide not to prosecute, they have that ability. But I thought it would be a way to get people the help that they really need is to not give the overdose person themselves the immunity.
Are there any plans to educate people who are using heroin about this new law that, you know, it's okay, you don't have to be afraid. If your friend or family member is in trouble, you can call?
The other parts of the bill that in the HOPE package, it does talk about, I think there'll be some PSA or some grant money through DOJ, but it really is for drug repositories. And so encouraging communities to set up either permanent or to have quarterly or something drug repositories so that people can safely get rid of these drugs. I think that many communities, these work groups are looking at PSAs now with currently the HOPE package is still in the Senate. We need to vote on that. I think we'll be doing that in the next couple weeks in February and the governor will sign it into law. But once this package of four bills is signed into law, I think that you will see many of these groups will move forward and say, this is a change of current law. Let's make sure that people know that we realize that people are using, the friends are using, that we need to let those people know that you can call 911 and not be in fear of getting into trouble and save your friend's, you know, life, that you wouldn't leave your friend downtown while they're drunk. You don't leave your cell phone, you know, somewhere. You always remember to take your cell phone. You take your friend with you in these situations. And in this situation, it's no different, that you really need to still look out for the friends that you're with.
So this other bill that you mentioned, Senator Schilling, that would allow municipalities to hold prescription drug drives, you know, we have that here in La Crosse on a quarterly basis, I believe. Are there some areas of the state that they don't have prescription drug drives, and is that why this law is needed?
Actually, I think a lot of areas have the prescription drug drives. Under current law, however, they're not allowed to collect narcotic drugs. So what... this bill does is allows them to collect that narcotic drug as well and then properly dispose of them. And, you know, when we had the testimony in the assembly, a mom came and said, you know, it was a very powerful moment. Her daughter had died of an overdose, and it began with prescription drugs like it does in most cases. She said, you know, when my kids were little, one of the first things I did when they started crawling and walking was I cleaned out under my kitchen sink to make sure they couldn't get at any of the cleaning supplies that were, you know, potentially dangerous or poisonous. Yet our medicine cabinets are full of narcotics and other drugs that are as dangerous, if not more deadly, than those cleaning supplies. So just really a change in mindset is needed to make sure that we're getting rid of those prescriptions that we no longer use.
And then there's the fourth bill that passed through in this HOPE package that would require an ID to purchase certain narcotics. Can you expand on that and maybe what narcotics that involves?
Yep. The fourth piece is it would require people to show identification when picking up opiate prescriptions at pharmacies. That right now, you have to show a prescription or you have to show a photo ID at some instances for things, but right now, when you go to the pharmacy and you're picking up these drugs, they don't know who they're giving. The pharmacist doesn't know who they are then turning over the prescription to. So I certainly think that is very reasonable to have a photo ID. You still can pick up for someone else, but the pharmacist needs to know and should know who they are then turning over the prescription to. So I think it's a very appropriate and sensible way, and another way that there is probably kind of a way that users could find a way to kind of get around the system, and that they found kind of a crackdown or a breakdown in sort of that area. So that photo ID, I think, will be important as we know who that prescription is being given to.
Yeah, and the reason we introduced this piece is the Brown County Drug Task Force actually asked us to do this one because they have about 8 to 10 cases a month of fraudulent prescriptions. And as Senator Schilling said, once that prescription leaves the pharmacy, there's no way for them to track where it's gone. So very common sense approach. Just show your ID. The pharmacist will write down your name and out the door you go. We don't want to limit anybody from getting the prescription that they need. We just want to know where they're going.
And there are two new bills, Representative Nygren, that you just introduced. One of them is having the Department of Health Services create regional opiate treatment centers. Explain what those are and maybe where some of these test sites are that you're looking at.
Well, the decisions will be made by the Department of Health Services. Perhaps the criteria will be based on, where the need is the most. And it's designed for rural and underserved areas that may not have enough treatment it currently. And once again, they're the professionals, but we are encouraging them to begin this effort, because what we hear over and over again, even if you have somebody who wants to break the cycle, in a lot of our state, we don't have treatment available for them. So this is something that I think is glaringly needed, and it'll be a test focused on I think 1,000 patients, and they'll use abstinence in one of the programs. Another one will use a drug called Vivitrol, and another test will involve a drug called Suboxone, and we'll see which one is the most successful. And if we see a decent level of success, I think you'll see this program going statewide in the future. That's what we're really looking for. We're looking for things that actually will produce results and break the cycle of addiction. We can't allow the citizens, or even if they are addicts, to be disposable to us as a society. We want them to be productive citizens, tax-paying citizens, raising a family, living the American dream like the rest of us.
And how will this be funded?
Will be funded through the state budget, and we've identified some dollars that are available for the program.
I mean, I know DHS will figure this out, but could this be good for La Crosse, Senator Schilling? Or do you think there's an appropriate amount of resources within this area to address addiction?
I certainly think the idea of having 2 to 3 treatment centers throughout the state is going to be needed, that you look at sort of resources that are available. But I think as we look at, of course, we want to deal with prevention, but we also have to look at intervention and we have to look at treatment. And once that we have, people have identified and they're in the system and we want them to change their lives, and as Representative Nygren said, break that cycle, we have to look at the treatment side as well and to give them the tools to succeed after, you know, beyond being in these areas. So I think it's important that we do have kind of this test run, and we will look to see what those best practices are, and we will locate them in parts of the state where really in rural parts of the state, they don't have some of those resources. Here in La Crosse County, we are fortunate with kind of the population that we have here with the health systems and nonprofits and others that can come together. But in rural parts of the state, they don't necessarily have that.
And this final bill, at least that's been introduced for now, maybe you have more coming, but
today.
Yeah, but this other bill would look at maybe kind of tweaking the system for people who have been arrested for drug use. Can you explain this better?
The problem, as I have seen it, as I've become experienced with it with my daughter, but also seeing my community and my area as a whole, we've arrested about 80 people in the last 3 to 4 years with heroin-related crimes. And you know, they might get sentenced to a year in prison, they might get sentenced to 2 years, whatever the case may be. To date, as the people are reintegrated back into the community after their time in prison, there's no success. 100% of them have reoffended and went back into the state prison. We're spending, you know, $35,000 a year for a man, $41,000 a year for a woman in state prison. And the idea behind a correction system is to rehabilitate somebody so that they don't reoffend. So I guess the way I'm looking at it is those dollars are being wasted. The system is not working currently. So we're once again looking for best practices. We identified some things that have been done in other states. Hawaii and Washington have implemented something called Swift and Certain. We're calling it rapid response, and it's a quicker and more prescriptive way to deal with addicts and their behaviors to change them long term.
Did you want to add to that, Senator?
Well, I just think in recognizing after they get out of being incarcerated that there needs to be that support within communities as well, and there needs to be job skills, there needs to be those life skills, there needs to be that network also to help them as well. And so certainly recognizing that they have reoffended, it's that treatment, and it is getting them out there to be productive citizens of the community they live.
The states that have implemented it so far have seen fantastic success. Hawaii has seen a 70% reduction in recidivism for drug-related offenses. And once again, you know, Senator Shilley and I both work on the Joint Finance Committees, spending the state's resources that the taxpayers give us. And right now, I think we're wasting a lot of the dollars. So if we can find more cost-effective ways, more successful ways of using our resources, I think the taxpayers win, and the people with addiction will win in the long run as well.
Taking a step back and looking at the state as a whole, do you think that there is adequate funding or enough resources to really tackle the heroin issue in Wisconsin currently?
I think there is, because as I said, if you look at it, if you simply look at this as another cost to the state, you could possibly make the case, oh, we can't afford this, we should maybe put this into education, or we should put these dollars into, you know, some other type of program. And I could understand that argument. But when you look at, as I said earlier, the current costs that were, the dollars that are being spent on our correction system with almost no success. I think these programs will actually save money in the long run, and if successful, will also help us have more citizens that are actually contributing to the state, employed, having a job, raising a family. That will actually help us in the long run, and the dollars will be well spent, and I actually believe will save money.
Well, and we do need to be smart on our resources and our investment. And just like in the last budget, we spent $30 million on mental health resources, and many in the mental health arena were applauding us that still is a drop in the bucket of what our state needs for mental health services. And so it's a start. This is the beginning of a conversation. It's going to be ongoing. And if we can curb some of these costs, that could be cost-saving in the long run.
State Senator Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse and State Representative John Nygren of Marinette talking about what the Wisconsin legislature is working on to curb heroin use. Both lawmakers were at a recent meeting of a La Crosse County Heroin and Illicit Drug Task Force. That group has been meeting for several months to talk about what can be done locally to deal with heroin. The group is expected to make its recommendations later this spring. Meanwhile, Senator Schilling says the state Senate could take up some of the heroin bills the assembly has already passed before it adjourns in March. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk with Mike Poplinski, a member of the 1998 U.S. curling team, about his Olympic experience. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, extended interviews, and photos can be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.